That was Update Bring Down from Ripped Van Winkle. Now back to the Huff meeting and the scheming and the talking.
Accounting for the homeless funding, volunteers to help stop the sweeps and a demand that the sweeps stop. That's not just at the benchlands, it's everywhere. They swept everywhere throughout the city and dumped people in the benchlands. And the OVO...
They got more people patrolling and looking for homeless people. They got more citizens with walkie-talkies and extra cops and this and that walking around and the four-wheelers and their electric cart and all kinds of stuff, you know? I mean, they got the state-of-the-art, everything to make the poor people feel like, you know, we got nothing.
And that actually is what you and I, Troy, spoke earlier today. It's going to be on the net tonight, your interview on this one, too. What I'm saying is this might be an opportune time to continue tabling downtown or doing a coffee clutch or, I mean, I've been thinking more grandiosely about trying to organize people in the benchlands with a barbecue there. We need other organizations to support it, to help provide food. Keith or Joe Schultz might provide some food.
Love Boat could be interested.
Love Boat, maybe DSA, some of it might be interested. And the idea being this, the county building is right there. Ratner's office is right there. It's a very short walk to Ratner's office and sit down right outside his office and start singing, you know, let's get together, tell us why you're spending all the money, where's it going, why are the seniors out on the streets, and that might have some impact. So I'm thinking that if people wanted to do it...
FYI, there's a man behind my tent on the hill behind the courthouse. His name is Richard Bell. It goes by R. He's incapacitated. He cannot, he can walk now, but he's been unable to walk for a long time. But all of a sudden he got plopped there. He got kicked out of the armory or something because he drank. Maybe got belligerent. But I've been giving him water and food and stuff. But I don't, feel that's my gift to take care of some other man. And I got him a wheelchair, and I've been trying to help him out. But he's kind of on the radar now, but he's still there. I mean, I got him... he's walking with the wheelchair. At least he's getting to go places. Mm. But up until like 4 or 5 days ago, he was just in that tent every day after day, with water. And you know how hot it was getting some of them days.
And that's another issue, too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he can't go to the bathroom, so he has to go in his tent or in something. And so the smell, and he's still, it's just stupid.
Yes.
They got so many resources. America, no America should lack anything like that. It's ridiculous.
Yes. So what I'm saying is that this...
Thank you for helping out.
Yeah, these issues might be a call for us to call for more people. So I'm going to bring this up later as a possibility. I mean, to get... talking about risking civil disobedience or loud lobbying, that's what I call it. It's not really civil disobedience unless you are breaking a law, and you're not breaking a law, but I'm sure they'll tell you you're breaking a law, and they'll try to control you that way. At least they have in the past when we've done these protests years ago. Nick and I once invaded a meeting of the Public Safety Committee when they were keeping them all closed, and the police chief moved to arrest us, and dear Scott Kennedy said, no, wait, don't arrest them, it'll be bad publicity. He didn't say that, but that's what I think he was thinking. That was years ago, but in other words, you don't have to do civil disobedience to have an impact, but you need to have people coming. So, for example, I went to 2 protests in the last 5 days that were not protests. I was informed there were going to be protests.
We have civil disobedience, but eventually, I mean, it could turn into like 11 million dead, like Stalin or what was his name in Russia.
Hopefully.
We starved all the people with communism, took all the food from them.
You don't need communism to starve all the people.
So, I mean, that's kind of where they're going with what they're doing here in America to us people that cannot support ourselves or have no income.
They don't give a shit. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's okay. So what I'm saying is that we might want to take an action. That'll be on the agenda. So, street reports. Now, you've given me a bit of street reports, Troy. Anybody got more street reports? I know, Monica, you said that they are now giving out tickets to RVs in your neighborhood.
2 guys in uniforms with their little community service uniforms and a woman with a brunette younger than Deborah Elston that were walking down Delaware today, and I saw a couple of tickets. So
tickets or move-alongs?
Tickets, actual tickets, not the neon sticker.
So tickets,
yeah, but, well, there's parking ticket.
Citizen
little.
Volunteers?
Yeah.
So community service officers, these are not the neighborhood vigilantes. These are official city...
They need to get a real job.
Are they city police employees?
It says community service.
They're
blue uniforms.
Oh, they're recruit volunteers.
Yeah.
They're in a uniform.
Oh, yeah. They're paying off tickets.
Yeah.
Community volunteers mean they're paying off tickets. It's sort of slave labor. You give someone a ticket and then you make them work to pay it off.
No, that's not the volunteers. This is the volunteer police force.
But community service volunteers.
No, these are people who have numbers and they're part of the police force. Yeah. But they're volunteers.
Yeah, so they're not like trained as police. They just have like maybe a weekend or something. Well, when yeah, exactly.
I know that the ACLU.
There's so much going on at once.
However,
can we just not all talk at the same time?
Okay.
So can I finish saying what I was saying?
Yeah, but you were saying go ahead.
You were there too. When we were at the police station for some other deal, I can't even remember what we were there for. They were training a group of them, and they're basically, and I've seen a flyer about it too. So anyone can offer to be a volunteer, and then they train you for a weekend and give you a shirt and a badge or whatever and a walkie-talkie, and there you go.
Okay. However, these volunteers were supposedly suspended from ticket duties, according to the ACLU's letter 3 months ago, because they weren't authorized, as I mentioned at various Huff meetings.
Ah.
And that's why I was interrupting, because there's
no... Well, is there a reason to interrupt?
So the reason... Yeah, that was my reason.
So if I have a reason, I can interrupt you?
I guess.
All right.
If I have misinformation, I suppose, but, you know... We can all raise our hands, I guess. I'll try and do that myself.
No, I was just like four people talking at the same time at a certain point. So.
Yeah. No, I understand. I don't know. That's the reason I asked. Monica, you've reported that there was, ticketing happening. And apparently volunteer or police people ticketing, which would seem to be a violation of... Unless there's a new law that has been passed that authorizes that or some kind of policy. So that... would be something would be nice to research. If anybody wants to volunteer to give a call to, I will make a note of it, and who knows, I may do it myself.
Call the ACLU?
You could try calling the ACLU, but that may involve you could also call the police department, and you can say, I'm having all kinds of problems with RVs in my neighborhood. I hear that you've finally begun to start ticketing again. Is that happening? You know, if you want.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Weren't they ticketing homeless, too? I thought...
Well, it's people who are in their vehicles are considered homeless in that sense.
Okay, but...
I mean, they've tried their own shelter.
Okay.
People have also gotten... people who are sleeping outside have also gotten misdemeanor tickets for being, say if somebody was living up by Sycamore Grove and they got a notice to leave because of fire risks, and then if they didn't move fast enough, they could get a misdemeanor for that. I mean, you know.
And you can get a misdemeanor for two infractions in this, in many cases, as part of the city's code. Street reports, but I think we need to follow up on that street report.
I tried to visit, I drove up to De La Vega Park, and I tried to visit the armory and campground up there. I had to pass through hundreds of elite privileged citizens playing golf on a wonderful spectacular green lawns. Where does that water come from? And then I come to this meeting and I hear that homeless people are struggling to get to a tap and get a drink of water. So something's weird. When I got to the armory, the only way to enter was through this perimeter fence, this tall perimeter fence, and then there's a bleak-looking building with a couple of doors. So I stood by one of the doors, and out came a lady called Jean with her walkie-talkie.
Jean.
She's a supervisor of that. And she said, nobody's allowed to just come in and take a visit. Even if you know somebody in the armory camp or building, you can't visit them.
Sounds like the Salvation Army.
She said the only way, I said, is there a way to get permission? She said, no, there's no permission. You've got to go and meet your friends downtown. So
that was going to be my question. Are residents allowed to come out to be outside of the fence, or do they have to stay inside of the fence?
Categorically, the only way that you can meet your and any friends of yours is downtown, out of here.
You know, I want to just add to that when I was downtown at the clock tower and talking to some folks that had gone up to look at that campground, they were horrified. They did not tell me why they were horrified with the campground. They just told me that it was just completely an unacceptable thing for them to stay at that campground next to the armory.
Yeah, I heard some similar reports, Laura, too. At least that's what I heard, too.
So did you get inside at all?
No, of course not. No, I wasn't allowed inside.
Did you sort of see anything?
Nothing. It's completely shielded from that single entrance.
And this was this done? Was this, this? I don't think this was this. Also, what they did in the previous county-run golf lands.
I don't know.
Yeah, I know because this has been taken over by the city. And again, according to if you listen to this interview I did with a really embittered employee who said she was leaving town because she was so pissed with the. Well, and it was just both the rents and other things too, but she was pissed with both the county and the city employees, but she said the city was worse than the county. So, I don't know whether the county allowed. I think the county had a shuttle service too, but they may have been more lenient in letting people come and go.
Robert, I don't think the armory has actually switched over to the city yet.
No, but I'm talking about the benchlands here.
Oh, the benchlands.
No, I'm talking about the...
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I was confused.
No, that's all right. So, anyway, moving along to the actual substantive items on the agenda, we have two people who...
Clarification?
Yeah.
The golf lands are also the bench lands?
No, the golf lands are right next to the armory up in De La Vega.
Okay, I understand.
You got it. No problem. All right, so we have any more street reports from anybody?
Hey, Robert.
Hey, welcome.
Any more reports?
Street reports.
As,
remind me of your name, I forgot.
Cesar Alfaro.
Okay. Cesar, do you want to be on the Huff email list if you're not already?
Yeah, why not?
You can also grab coffee if you want. I mean, there's various kinds of edibles. We can ask Hossein to make another pot. Cesar, what's your email?
GUAZAR 2390 at Hotmail.
GUAZAR
2290
at Hotmail. Okay.
Yeah.
And do you have a phone number and you don't have to give it any of this?
Yeah, I do. 253-1885.
253. How much?
331-353-1885.
Thank you. Yeah. 1885. And are you outside these days?
Oh yeah.
And where, Benchlands area or another mysterious location?
Oh no, I was at the City Overlook, but I left.
I want to hear about it. We're talking about the City Overlook right now. That's the program previously owned by the county, or
yeah, it was the golf lands was owned by the county.
Run by the county.
I was at the golf lands until I set my tent on fire because they called my aunt. Costa Rica without my permission.
Hold this, could you? By the way, we're doing.
All right.
Putting this out on the net too, if you don't mind.
I don't. I really don't, because I've been meaning to talk with somebody about this for a while. Okay.
What's the difference between the county management and the city the old golf lands and the new overlook?
Okay. Well, the new overlook, it's the city overlook is run by Salvation Army, which is run by the city.
Right.
Okay, and they have. They're going to be there for 2 years, right? They're shutting down the armory at the end of this month. Right. All the people at the armory are screwed, basically.
Right.
They've been fed a pipe dream for years. Like a few people up there, you know. By you know, there's someone that I know that has been at the armory for several years. A friend of mine, and he. They just haven't had anybody there to be helpful, you know. And they finally hired this woman, Victoria Verdugo. They hired her a couple weeks ago to help the people at the armory transition, if you want to call it that. But really, it's they're just trying to save their own ass, really, you know. To make it look good, yeah, of course. And it's
what's
yeah.
the difference between the outside part, not just the inside? Were you inside the armory or were you on the golf?
No, I was outside the armory.
What's the difference between how that was run by the county and now how it is being run now by the city?
Well, the difference is when it was run by when it was the golf lands, they had we each had these really nice canopy easy up tents that were. And they lied. They said they were a lot more expensive than they actually were. You know, the county gifted a bunch of these to the state of Oregon for some reason, I found out. For some weird reason, I don't know why, but...
Santa Cruz County?
Yeah, they gave Oregon a bunch of these easy-up tents for some... And I don't know if I'm getting it mixed up with the tiny homes.
Oh.
Wait, let me back that up. Okay, the tiny homes...
But that wouldn't be a bad gift for people that are in, you know, tents.
Yeah, but it was just odd, you know, that they would do that. I don't know the details of it beyond that, but...
What else was different in the management of... I mean,
a lot.
Could you come and go as you wish?
Well, no, you couldn't come and go as you wish. I mean, you had to take a shuttle to downtown, you know. Troy was there for a few days, but he didn't last long at the Golflands. But I'm not trying to throw you under the bus, but, you know, it's...
This was in the county or when it was city?
This is, well, this was when it was the county at the Golflands. It was a lot more lax. They had food service, you know. They had a breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They had a lot more money to work with than they do now, you know.
Now, could somebody come up and visit you there?
Yeah. And they can still do that. Well, the city overlook is just really, it's a joke, really. It's so lame. Like
this guy, Nick, you've told us that he went up there, the guy behind you went up there and tried to visit, and he wasn't able to get in.
Yeah, they're not very friendly, you know, and they all, like, act like they're doing their job. There's this one woman that works up there, this lady that she is, she's just not a really good person, really, and she does her job. She doesn't do her job, but when she sees someone doing something that she doesn't like, She'll do her job then, but all their other duties are, like, neglected, really, and, like, it's just, I don't know, it just seems like
Are you in touch with people who are leaving, or getting kicked out, the seniors are getting kicked out of the armory?
Yeah, I am.
And
a few people.
Do you have any contacts with them? Because this is the last day, right?
Well, yeah, you're right, it is the last day. Okay, well, there's this one gentleman, Mike, older Mike, I don't know his last name, but he has 20% of his heart functioning, and he's not really in good health, but yeah, he's going to be leaving.
Is there any protests being planned about this eviction?
No, definitely not.
Do you think anybody would be interested in doing a protest around this?
Oh, yeah. The closure of the armory?
Yes.
Yeah.
What day is it being closed today?
Today is, yeah. And they're going to give him a tent and a backpack and say, see you, buddy.
They're going to give him a tent, huh?
Yeah. And a backpack.
How about
they won't let them stay in the, sorry.
Maybe a sleeping bag, but, you know.
Do they already have sleeping bags?
No, they have so much stuff. Okay, there's this one room up there in the armory that is just full of donations and stuff that are meant for the people at the armory. It's really like it's weird because the people at the armory, I noticed before I got kicked out of the city overlook, all the people at the armory were...
Is there anything you wanted to say before you're going?
Hold that monument until next time.
1 week. And I'll let you know if we're doing any protests.
Next Thursday?
Yeah, next Thursday. Okay, thank you. Sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, man.
What, about what?
Well, you were talking with, you were telling Laura something about...
Yeah, so there's this one room, a donation room up in the Armory. I have no idea what they're going to be doing with all the, you know, there's so much resources that are just being...
Sat on.
Yeah, they're just sitting on them, and they're just, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do, and it's so lame. You know, it's like, what year is it?
Mm-hmm.
What year is it?
2022,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah,
it's... They're just sitting on resources they should be handing out.
And
maybe we can somehow get some...
It's a joke, you know? It almost seems like it's a joke, you know? And it's just because there isn't any infrastructure set up for this kind of stuff. You know, people, they don't know what to do, really, so they're just winging it, really, it seems like.
Tell them to call a Food Not Bombed. We know how to hand out sleeping bags in town. We know how to hand out resources.
And interrupting, of course... A serious conversation for a little more of the mime troupe. Reprise of Out of Step, again, from Ripped Van Winkle.
I meant to meet up with Abby. Remember Abby from Food Not Bombs? She was with, she met up with an ACLU lawyer at the county building a couple weeks ago, and I was supposed to go meet her there, but I ended up not meeting her there and telling her about the... situation I had at, they called my aunt in Costa Rica without my permission, because there's this one woman that was working at the golf lands. She basically eavesdropped on a conversation I was having, and then took it upon herself to call my aunt in Costa Rica. Yeah, and not only is that a rookie move, but it's probably illegal, you know, because it's a violation of I didn't have. The only person I had on my emergency contact information is my mother, who lives in L.A., but to call a family member in Central America, what's that going to do, you know, but leave me with a lot of stress and...
Yeah, yeah, what are you doing with your stuff? Is it still up at the Armory, or...?
My stuff? No, I'm staying at San Lorenzo Park.
And how is that?
Oh, it's, you know, it's all right.
Is that where you were at before?
Yeah, no, before that I was at a couple of sober livings up in Scotts Valley and Live Oak and Brent's 40, but that didn't really work out. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got you. But I guess my question is, although, you know, this is pretty...
Can I get some coffee?
Yeah, please.
Here.
Get some.
Thanks.
And we'll talk about that when you get back, if you want. All right, so... I was talking about the latest shelter sham talk and shutouts. That's what I call it, shutouts. Because... Nick, ask if you can do another...
This is insane what
another
it takes
thing,
to
coffee.
Downtown.
Yeah.
The issue is whether anything can be mobilized. I think in trying to mobilize a protest in one day is a difficult thing. We could, however, announce a protest for sometime later, either next week. I mean, I don't know. It depends on how much interest there is, but it's...
I have a question.
I mean, just a moment.
Related.
And that is that people have known for weeks that the Armory is going to close down, that they have no place for people to go. And this bullshit about transitioning is just what it is. It's nothing. So I don't know if people are going to be interested in doing massive protests. What I was saying before is that I went to two supposed protests that were not completely ended up. I was the only protester there. One was at City Hall on Sunday, I think it was, and the other was the next day or the day after. Reggie mentioned it, against military occupation organizing at the farmers market. He sent out a little notice on that. Yeah. And nobody was there. And the military never showed up. Maybe they
didn't.
Or did they show up?
I didn't see
it. Yeah,
wasn't that just yesterday?
Yeah.
Like totally last minute?
Yeah, it was
right.
All.
Okay.
So I'm talking about last minute protesting.
Okay.
Laura, you wanted to say something. Go ahead.
I wanted to know if we know if and when they're going to sweep San Lorenzo Park.
We don't.
Oh, that's
of course, at least... There's no clarity that I've heard regarding when the actual deadlines are going to be for folks moving out of the benchlands, though there have been kind of panicky apprehensions and rumors and phone calls to me that Jeremy Leonard is going around with there being a cleanup crew to remove certain tents that are regarded now as just trash, and I believe Jeremy would dispute that, or so I've heard, but it's not clear that there is an actual deadline. We're going to skip ahead now, because I think that's what the story is with this audio anyway. You're going to be listening to Joy. I think she's talking about the OVO appeal, the Oversized Vehicle Ordinance appeal.
Days out of a month. The whole permit thing is ridiculous, and honestly, it's going to be bad for tourists and people with addresses too. It's just the worst of it is for people that are using vehicles for shelter.
I'm not too clear what the difference is between what part of it relates to nighttime and what part of it relates to the daytime. That was Reggie and I never quite agreed on that. We weren't really sure. I didn't get the impression he was sure either.
Yeah.
But the main things that I pointed out is when I appealed this 5 years ago, surprisingly successfully, in the sense that they said this is a substantial issue and the city didn't want to go any further because they didn't have any, I think they had no substance in claiming, in dealing with the objections of several members on the Coastal Commission, which is, one, there's no crime problem, prove it to us,
yeah.
And two, you got no storage facilities, so,
right.
You know, you're too vague about it. Well, we have churches that can take in people. Well, where are they? Well, they're around somewhere, Scott Collins, the city manager, said. He didn't know. We can guarantee they'll be there. And, of course, there's staff bent right over for this, but the commission did not. And I think emphasizing these two points, unless they have met those conditions, you can rely on the precedents that were done before, their own precedents.
Yeah.
We're good. And there's also, of course, the new power that there's supposed to be a special concern with diversity and justice. I don't know whether it's diversity or justice, but there was an ordinance, passed in a rule passed in 2019 that expanded the requirements or contracted the requirements, but made more specific the requirements of people who wanted to shut off the coastal zone, what the coastal zone should consider doing. And part of that has to do with social justice in very explicit terms. Now, that's always nice. Liberals love to use those words, particularly as they're invading foreign countries.
Yeah.
You know. But that's still, there are some people who blanch at that, and I think properly so, when they hear it, you know, it's a minority, as you were saying, Joy, and that sort of thing. Yeah, it certainly is.
And too small of a minority to count.
Right. Too little to succeed. Right?
Yeah.
Too small of a voter block.
That too. So anyway, I was going to call up Reggie and ask him to give an update. I know, I guess you guys got the report. I requested it as a Public Records Act request.
Oh, the staff report.
Yeah, I have not looked at it, and I don't think I've received it yet. I'm not sure. Yeah, that would be good. I may already have it. And again, remember, this is all, to me, this is secondary. This RV stuff, they don't need this law to go after RVs. And as Monica has told us earlier, they're ticketing people now, both in violation of the previous Coastal Commission decision 5 years ago. So what's needed is a different kind of organizing strategy, which doesn't mean going to ACLU meetings. It means going out on the streets when they're ticketing and say, get the fuck away from this vehicle, or we're taking pictures of you, you know, and we're going to take it to the courts, if necessary. The courts, of course, are useless, but that's another story. At least you rouse the people to an understanding, and at least they start leaving some vehicles alone, and they start getting a little more nervous about what they're doing, particularly if people give a shit about this, if they have formed relationships with the neighbors, which can be problematic, of course.
Call Reggie.
Why don't you hold off on that for a moment, and I'll get through some of the rest of this, because we're running out of time here, and I've gotten through the first six items on this damn thing. Safe parking updates. I was going to go by the city. I called them today to say, where are these damn parking lots where we're supposed to be able to park six vehicles in a lot right now, according to Larry Mwale, or maybe it was Huffaker at the city council 2 weeks ago. I got sent to Larry Mwale's answering machine, and I think I mentioned this earlier. So I've got no new information on that. Sausalito's Robbie Powelson, no new news on that, but if you go to the Facebook page on Robbie Powelson or the Marin County Homeless Advocates, he's a very active individual who has organized people, and, or at least certainly speaks for a lot of the issues and documents them on the anchor outs, who are anchoring out in the Sausalito area and who now are being move from here to there to there, but they're still fighting it. Anthony Prince, to his credit, has fought for a lawsuit there, and in Novato, and in Fresno as well. Although that, I think some of those are on hold or getting dumped.
There's a woman in Fresno that
on the, there was a care workshop yesterday, and there was a woman from Fresno who basically stood up and said what she does, and she gets results because the Fresno mayor is interested in being elected for stuff. She takes homeless families and goes to City Hall and videotapes them saying that you need to provide housing for this homeless family, and she puts it on social media, and now they give her housing, them housing, and she's gotten good results.
Good work. Okay, well, tabling downtown supporting the pension as another independent survival camps. I'm considering doing some more of that. We have this poor victim at the table here, Kevin. He's a very wild guy.
Yeah,
I think you're very colorful. Very colorful. Very colorful. Definitely. So I'm wondering if we want to do some tabling this weekend. Cindy, how do people feel about going out among the masses and saying, where the fuck are the seniors going to go?
On the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's triple
fine zones sitting around waiting for us, yes.
Public events like parades on Sunday.
And Scotts Valley, I think, is doing theirs on Sunday.
Right.
So that they can...
I mean, the more people, the merrier, as far as I'm concerned, as far as petitions go, and that sort of thing. Although, people may not be in the mood. They may want to feel celebratory and get the way with your political shit. I don't want to... So that's true, you know. Well, let's not confuse us with the facts.
Well, I
think that us seniors, those of us who clearly look like seniors, it would be a good thing for us to go out among the crowd and say, where are the seniors going to get to go? Yeah. You want to throw people like us out in the street?
Yeah.
And walk around and just ask them, what do you think 4th of July is about?
What are the schedules? I mean, I'm willing to come out with a table. I'm willing to cook up maybe a better flyer. This is the flyer, the most recent thing, as I said, that I put out, which is, you know, pretty pathetic, actually. But it's got, you know...
It's better than nothing.
Better than
the
nothing.
The bullet points in it are solid.
Yeah, but it's not specific is the problem. The more specifics, the better, yeah.
Come out for the parade?
Well, I would say... It doesn't matter if we're talking parade or, I mean, wherever the crowds are or wherever, and remember, we'll have to face police problems too, but we might have to face police problems. I'm up for it if anybody wants to do it. So you sound like, Laura, it sounds like you're up for it. What do you think?
I'm checking my schedule. I'd be...
What about you, Gloria?
Saturday, I
can't. Well, there's Sunday. Any other volunteers? You could do some campaigning. You could say, hey, vote against me. I favor human rights. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you know what? If you bring flyers, I'll help pass them out. If you can put together something.
Oh, please.
No, pressure.
Not at all.
I know. I have a flyer that I need to edit, and I don't know what...
Can you even make like on quarter pages so that they're really...
What I have is a half pager, but
okay,
it's,
that works.
The person who made it is out of town, so I don't know.
Getting ruined.
I have to check to see what my options are. And then there's this thing for the OVO, which would be great to. No, you could just, like, if you were doing, information or petitions, you know.
Talk about the flyer that says sign the petition online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to make a paper thing to take down into the Benchlands, because Reggie and I took some of these down into the Benchlands the other day, and some people have smartphones, but other people are like, what are you, insane? What is a QR code? So we got a few suggestions to come around with, you know, a paper version. So I'm going to make something up.
I just learned too.
But I, you know, I could give one to if you do something, I could give one to you all also.
So we have me, Gloria, Laura, and maybe Kevin. Are you up? On Sunday.
Yeah.
Are you talking Sunday, Laura?
Yeah, I just got a new call.
I can't get on my calendar, but I think I'm available for Sunday. Yeah. I can't remember.
You can't confirm it yet. Okay.
I will. You know,
and
what
sure,
time
you're not sure because...
I think so. Let me make
Sunday,
sure.
What time?
When are the events on Sunday happening? Do we know?
Troy? Hey, do you know when the Santa Cruz parade is going to be on Sunday?
I don't think they have one. They have one in the half tops.
The world's shortest parade?
Yeah, the shortest parade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that
going to be on
Monica?
Sunday?
Yeah. Yes.
What's the weather?
The one that ends 1829?
Okay, that's
on Sunday.
So
the Boulder Creek one's going to be on
Thank
Monday,
you.
Too.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be a good one.
Okay.
Well,
but do we even have one down there?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really care about the parade one way or the other. I'm
just
thinking
go. Let's just go in the afternoon. You know, they can have just unwanted.
What's the weather look like on Sunday? Do we know?
Yeah, it's going to be really
hot.
Yeah, is it hot or is it raining or is it whatever it's doing?
When?
Right now. So we're looking up the weather, and we'll check that out. While we're checking it out, we'll move right along on the next agenda item. We got the OVO update, review of the appeal, sign the petition. We can talk more about it, but I think we've touched on it. Is there more that people want to talk about on the OVO petition stuff? Because you mentioned that, Joy, that you might be...
Say again.
Yeah, OVO petition, anything more we want to talk about? We passed around the flyer. It may be, it'll be showing up on the table, assuming we table, which I'm planning to do. Laura?
Sunday it's supposed to be high of 68 with the little clouds.
That's not bad. I mean, a little chilly, but, you know.
The only other thing is that Santa Cruz Cares is going to have an event at London Nelson next Wednesday from, I believe, 5:30 to 7, to just give an update on where OVO is and the, you know, the sort of city, county landscape of camps closing and restructuring, and also to talk about the appeal to the Coastal Commission. So
the new course will allow people to use the bathroom.
Well, you'll be there for an event, so you will be a patron of London Nelson and therefore will be allowed to use the bathroom.
This is revolutionary.
Yeah. We're paying for the space, so anybody who comes gets snacks and use of the toilet.
That's what I
yeah, pay the fee.
Oh, will you send me that? So I'll send it out to the email.
So there's that event coming up for all you listeners, if you're listening. Do we want to get a Food Not Bombs report? Maybe we do. I don't know. We're running low on time, or I'm trying to get stuff done, too. Let's see. We have shawls, sharings. Julie Shaw is a woman who lives in her vehicle and brings bringing up kids. She puts out a tremendous amount of material around what's happening around the state and the city. She particularly notes when she's being followed by people she feels are nefarious or stalking characters. I don't necessarily put a lot of, I can't verify that either way, but often she has many interesting things to say about other items, and I brought along some stuff, but I'm having trouble finding it, of course, so I will move on behind that. But if you want to get her stuff, if you go to the Santa Cruz Homeless Advocates, you'll find her posting a lot of stuff there, along with Alicia Kuhl. Alicia gave an interview with me on the last Sunday show, if you want to hear her latest. I ran into Chris Crone, who had an interview he did on Squid, K-Squid, last Tuesday. It's the usual liberal talk about how bad the library burial is, which of course I agree with. You might want to check that out. He had Keith and Alicia on talking about their thing a week ago, which I played again on my show. I felt I was running short of material, but it's not bad. It's good. Keith liked it. I didn't mind it. And again tonight, there's a Vets Hall free film with food on the library burial. So if you want to go to the library, you want to go to the Vets Hall.
It's going to be buried.
See, under any parking garage.
Oh, so literally.
Well, it won't be buried. It'll be given a new status. Oh.
Yes. And given two or three more stories.
Right. You've heard of library stories. It's giving them more stories. That works well, I think.
Yeah.
So, that's tonight. 6 to 9 is free, supposedly, and they want you to contribute $10 if you can. We got the report on the San Lorenzo cleanup. Thank you again, Joy.
That's good.
Mad Power Committee report. This is Nick's...
Mad Power.
Mad Power, yes. Yeah. That is to say...
I don't have anything to do with mad people.
We're mad as hell, and we ain't going to take any more. If anybody's interested in back issues of Madness Network News or Phoenix Rising, these were the psychiatric survivor publications of the 70s and 80s. They're all available online, and you find them, it's on the agenda. Yeah. Benchlands and other encampment updates, we kind of got those. If anybody has anything more just about the bench to say about the benchlands and other encampments, I'm not really aware of much in the way of other encampments, so there are people who are outside, and I'm assuming it's still a majority, who are not in the benchlands or elsewhere and not sheltered. So I could be wrong, but that's been my understanding. I don't think it's changed. Then there's the most recent July Benchlands Clearing Declaration, which is now, as Caesar was telling us before he left, it's now August or September, the end of the summer, supposedly, and it's conditional as to whether they find they can afford to pay for it or find. They aren't really saying we won't do it if we can't
accommodate people quite. They're kind of sniffing around that formulation, and they're saying that there are many caveats here. We're working very hard, and we wholly expect, and we, in the tradition of Susie O'Hara, we wish to, you know, we're doggone gonna do it, by cracky, and Larry, you take over, you know, that sort of thing. So that's what they, if you want to hear what he has to say, you can go to this website and hear him, and you can hear it from the horse's mouth. Or the other side, as depending on how you look at it.
Probably the other side.
Probably the other side. Tools for fighting back. This I talk about, not at all, but I often mention it. Role-playing, documenting, and solidarity phoning to fight camping ban enforcement. This is stuff I talked to Haseen about it. Haseen and Wes Modes, who old-timers may remember. He's an activist who helped to start.
Wes Modes?
Yeah. He's an old-timer.
He started this. Center here.
Oh.
He's certainly this old timer also remembers him. Me, so do I. They did a deal where they would show people how to deal with the police, and they would role play. That's the best way to do it, just the way I can imagine police do it. That is, say they're trained on how to very quickly dominate, control the situation. You have to do it yourself. You dominate by saying, "Am I free to go?" And they say, you know, I think you want to just sit down. I say, all right, am I under arrest? You know, you keep reiterating what you want to say. But anyway, this is, the idea would be to set up, now just a second, to set up a documentary. One of the techniques here is to do a role-playing training. Another is to train people how to document. And a third is, I have some other deal here, solidarity phoning. So, for example, Troy, the new Troy, I initially met him, really, when he called me at 11:30 at night and said, they're breaking up my camp. And I said, well, demand to know where they're going to put you. And the police started saying, who you got on the phone? I said, Troy said, this is my attorney. And I said, ooh, don't call me an attorney. You know, I don't like attorneys.
Can I give legal advice and we can discuss the law?
The point was that this idea of phoning people when you're being raided is the idea of a phone kind of tree sort of thing. So anyway, this could be discussed and organized if anybody ever wanted to do it and organize it. And yes, Laura, sorry.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about plans to do, but this is just right in the idea stage right now. but for sure, having done stuff like that in the 70s with my mom around women's empowerment, if you have role-played ahead of time, then it's so much easier when you're in the moment to actually say the words because you've done it before. And it really makes a huge difference when you're under stress and pressure.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm wondering, if any, just because there's this summer free school, there's going to be a second session of the free school, that maybe somebody or a group of us would be interested in doing it that way.
Well, yeah. All you need to do is find somebody like Haseen and Wes Modes. Haseen would
to facilitate.
Would put on a police outfit, and Wes Modes would play the ordinary citizen, and they would go through these different scenarios. Katya Komisarek did the same thing.
So, is that anything you'd be interested in, Robert, or do you feel?
Sorry.
I was wondering if that's anything that you would be interested, or maybe, I know Nick is a theater guy.
I would not organize it.
Not the organizing, but the actual facilitating of the role playing, and also the dispensing of the information. Like, you know, I don't know any of that stuff. I would be taking the class.
You know, Munch Cafe on the corner has been doing, I think a lot of people are involved in that, have been or still are, maybe, I don't know, involved in Sub Rosa and Hub stuff, and they've been doing a lot of like zines. So they seem, I don't, it's just on the corner. We should just all go there more. But, you know, they might be enthusiastic about. Because I've also heard that Abby and Angela want to get cop watch a little more activated, so, you know, it could tie in to that, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They did some kind of a workshop like that up at the university this year. I don't know who that was, but as far as how to interact with the police and ways to stay safe and watch out for each other and all that during a protest, you know,
right.
Write your number on your arm, all that stuff.
Some way, I'm available as a resource to talk more about it, to look through my old notes and see what happened. As I said, the attorney and freedom fighter Katya Komisarek did this too. She was the woman who dismantled a nuclear warhead and spent 2 years in jail for it and then went to Harvard Law School.
She dismantled it?
In the 80s, yes, a long time ago.
Amazing.
Well, she attempted to dismantle it. I don't know. She banged on the nuclear warhead.
Oh, she didn't know what she was doing.
That
would be really cool.
I don't know if she knew what she was doing.
I think I met her later in connection with saving the redwoods from being sold down. I think I met Katya Komisarek. She was running a training for protecting redwoods. And building these tree houses that people could live in, high up. I think that was her. What a strange name. Katya Komisarek sounds like a Russian revolutionary.
Makes me a little Japanese.
So there's that possibility. I will, anybody want to volunteer to research any of this further? I always hate to ask this because it means.
I'm going to go by Munch Cafe on the way home and also check what is the deadline for the second session Sub Rosa to make a proposal.
Okay.
But I just want to be clear ahead of time that I'm not going to have a lot of time and energy in regards to finding people to teach it or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So that would just be a preliminary fishing
survey. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have more budget boondoggle, which is to say core funding. We talked a little bit about this before. Then we have did anybody see the 628 webinar about police militarization? Yeah. You did. Any reports on that?
I don't know if I can remember.
Was it not terribly memorable?
It feels like it was a long time ago. No, I remember it being really good, actually. My God. No, I remember it being really good, and when the recording comes out, I think it would be worth watching. I think the thing is, we, now that there's this AB 481 that's gone into effect federally, so AB 481 is a federal, it's like a post Black Lives Matter, post George Floyd law brought by a legislator from Portland, and it's basically forcing police and sheriff departments to be transparent about their military grade equipment, which includes chemical weapons like tear gas. And so we have received the report, and there has been community pushback to have even more disclosure because the city and the sheriffs, I believe, have put out the reports, and I think they're either available or will be available on their websites. If not, it's, you know, in city council minutes somewhere. But it's pretty alarming what equipment the Santa Cruz City Police Department has. They wanted to leave AR-15s off of their military equipment list because they said it was standard issue. So that's one thing that that Lee Brokaw and others said, no, this is military equipment, and we don't see our cops walking around with AR-15s all the time, so how can you justify that as... But I think what the AB-481 really gives us is the knowledge and that we can use to organize against the militarization of our police departments. And so I think there's a lot of organizing to be done around that. And Lee Brokaw and others who are involved with the ACLU and American Friends of the... What is that Quaker group? Friends of Service? Thank you. they're doing some... They're putting together some organizing about that, so... I'll try to keep track of that and send it to you or bring it to a future meeting. Because I think it ties into so much. It ties into environmental issues with the chemical weapons. It ties into disability rights and civil rights to protest, to not be injured. A lot of these weapons are meant to kind of injure people. Yes. So that's what I remember about it. The speakers were very compelling. It's infuriating that our police department has this equipment that's expensive, wasteful, toxic, meant specifically for crowd control, and is harmful to people and the environment.
Dig it. I wrote an email to Peter Gelblum, ACLU guy, who's been advertising this stuff. I've been ranting about it for some time, and a lot of other things in the police department that don't get much attention, such as racial discrimination and class and selective enforcement, which, you know, is the main issue for homeless people.
The law and order people sometimes say that some of these weapons or techniques are more humane than beating somebody with a billy club or firing rubber bullets at them.
Yes.
And they would probably mention flash grenades.
Yep.
But if a flash grenade lands near you, you're certainly going to be physically injured.
Absolutely.
They might mention smoke canisters.
Yep.
But those probably choke you.
Yeah, and they have this, they have a sound weapon also.
That's coming more into the news. The military
sound weapon. A sound cannon.
The military overseas often use these sound wave weapons that actually send a pressure wave that you can feel right through your ears.
Anyway, the issue is what can we do about it, of course.
Yeah.
We could go to the police department and start making requests. We could start doing little pantomimes in front of the police department. We could follow around after officers going, that's my sound weapon to you, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I mean, some of it sounds ridiculous.
Snip this flower.
Fart Fest could... And with these, city council apparently had a session which actually was in person as well as hybrid last Tuesday, which I actually should have put in a report on the agenda, but we got some of that. And I believe if you go to the K Squid interview, which Crone did, he covered it somewhat. So if you can find, it's archived for 2 weeks if you want to go listen to the K Squid interview from day before yesterday, which would be the 28th. Homeless heat survival tips from out-of-towner Huffster Ursula. She's telling, advising all homeless people to soak their head and clothes, stay in the shade, and drink lots of water, which I think is a pretty good idea.
If you can find it.
If you can find it, of course. I mean, you know, water is a valuable commodity. Ask any Bolivian, you know, so. Then there's Wes White's video. If you wonder what the coffee klatch was about, he videoed that star of the coffee klatch, Bathrobes Pierre Robert, who talks endlessly, as you may have noticed.
Guillotine.
And you can actually see it online. Wes White has a YouTube channel, John Doe 13K, where he does a lot of stuff. Wes, as you know, is a Salinas activist who goes all over the state organizing for the homeless union. Good for him, in spite of my concerns with some of the legal people in the homeless union, or one anyway. But, you know, got to give people credit where credit is due. He's also considering running for mayor of Salinas, so you two can team up as political hacks from here and there, you know, that sort of thing. I'm always giving him trouble about that, too, so you can sympathize. So I think that's it. I think we lost Laura. Yeah, the other... I think she did. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to give her the money that I owed her.
She's at John Doe 13K is this guy.
John Doe 13. John is one word, and then Doe 13K is another.
Uh-oh.
So you got to do two words, and it's on YouTube. It's a YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm plugged.
Anything else people have before I leave this whole silly shit? And thank you all for coming and bearing with this. And knows. I will. So I guess we meet on Sunday. We should choose a time. Okay, where do you want to, where do we want to meet? Where do you want to, downtown?
So it's Monday the 4th.
How about on the corner where the New Leaf Market is?
Which is?
If we can, or nearby.
Where is that?
Pacific and Lincoln, I guess it is.
Okay,
so or Pacific and Soquel, depending on which side of the thing you're on.
All right.
It's across from Forever 21, if you know where that is. It's
across from what?
Forever 21.
Oh. Okay, I'll find it. John Doe, what time?
I guess we're going to do it, what, is it noon you want to meet, or?
About that, yeah.
Let's call it noon.
Did Laura Chatham leave, too?
I think, I don't know.
I agree.
Unless she's in there.
It's 1:10, people are kind of burning out, I think.
Yeah, I'm flexible.
So you're good for 1 o'clock, I mean, for 12 o'clock on...
Noon Monday, yeah.
Not Monday, Sunday.
Oh, it's Sunday. Okay, the 3rd. It's
Sunday.
Third Sunday.
I guess so, yeah.
Yes, the 3rd.
Tomorrow's the 1st.
At New Leaf.
That's it for the Huff.
It was most of the Huff meeting, and of course the arrangement to get together today, if you're listening to this on the 3rd of July, in front of the New Leaf Market at the corner of Soquel and Pacific Avenue. Come on and join us if you'd like. We're going to be urging people to support ending the sweeps, demanding that the city manager and the city council come clean about how the money is being spent and actually dedicate it to real resources for homeless people and not more enforcement money for the police, for instance. Let's take a musical break.
In a building called Hollywood Bread, now more than 2 decades ago, the stuff that went on in that structure, I wonder who cares and who knows. 4 years I said nothing about it. On the road in an RV, I figured if they were trying to track me down, I didn't want to make it too easy. In a building called Hollywood Bread, I had an office on the 9th floor, and along with mine, there were several more. One with so many computers that I wondered just how much IT does it take to run a little fleet of trucks for a trucking company. In a building called Hollywood Bread, I didn't wonder too much back then, but in retrospect, the moving company, staffed only by Israeli men, was a strange operation, particularly because some of the guys, when I asked them, didn't seem to know who their boss was. In a building called Hollywood Bread, which was 10 stories high, a guy I knew went to the 10th floor and summarily died. Men in black with earpieces showed up. They said he got drunk, hit his head. Well, I knew the dude didn't drink, but he had the keys to Hollywood Bread. Thank you. Hollywood Red. The smokers all went out to toke. That's where you might meet your neighbors, outside having a smoke. That's how we all knew Mohammed, the Israeli movers as well. The truckers with all of their IT equipment, the tailgate stranger I'll tell. In a building called Hollywood Bread, that was the scene up until September 11th, 2001, when thousands of people were killed. Suddenly all of my neighbors on the ninth floor were gone without a trace. All of their IT equipment, as if it had just been erased. Hollywood Bread. I called the FBI. I thought they might want to talk to people who knew the guy. They never called me back, and I still don't know what to do. But I thought I'd let you know that all my words are true. In a building called Hollywood Bread, now more than two decades ago, the stuff that went on in that structure, I wonder who cares and who knows.
That was David Rovick's new song, Hollywood Bread. He writes, "It's been interesting to hear in recent mainstream news reports all of the open speculation about the Saudi government's role in the 9/11-2001 attacks in the U.S. An old friend of mine knew Mohammed Atta. He tried to tell the FBI, but they weren't interested. After years of living on the road in fear of being killed for knowing too much, he decided it was time to contact me and tell me his story, the basic details of which I try to capture in this song. I can't reveal the identity of my friend, and I can't personally verify the details he has shared with me, but I'm sure he didn't make this up." That's David Rovick talking about his song, Hollywood Bread. Apparently, inferentially about Israeli government involvement in the 9/11 bombing, or plane bombing, plane crashing. That's it for the contemporary edition, or partial discussions of, well, it's the stuff that happened most recently. And coming up next is the flashback, which carries on, as I mentioned, I think, at the beginning of this netcast, with what I was playing for you on Thursday, that is to say, the successful resistance to the police attempt to move out or move on or disperse or deport or drive away survival campers in San Lorenzo Park in December of 2020 and thereafter. It was mainly about the, and you heard most of this, well, at least the beginnings of it. On Thursday, it was the resistance on December 28th, 2020, which extended beyond that. And this particular show, which played January 3rd of 2021, but nearly a week later, covered a number of things, and I'm going to run through them briefly, but you'll be able to hear them if you listen to this replay of the show. Long show. I think it lasted 6 hours or thereabouts. So I'm only playing a couple of hours of it, maybe two or three, I'm not sure. But it begins with Garrett Stevens, who's an activist with the group Nomad, involved with the Comrades Cafe, which set up in San Lorenzo Park a couple weeks before the police moved in on the park, attempted to sort of be there in solidarity with the survival campers who were living there. Then you've got contrasting views on the park resistance from Armando and Pan, two residents of the park. Former Santa Cruz 11 activists Brent Adams and Becky Johnson, that was from way back in 2011, arrested for essentially journalism in the 75 River Street vacant bank building. It was occupied for 3 days by an autonomous section of the Occupy movement. The actual organizers of that occupation, which caused some damage to the property, but I guess the point was to turn it into a community center and also to protest the profiteering of the big banks and encourage people to take direct action to end things, since it's become very clear that corporate power and corporate money control our government, or their government, I should say, the government. Anyway, these two, Adams and Johnson, exchanged notes on the San Lorenzo occupation and the resistance to the occupation that happened 9 years later in 2020, in the winter, when they folks successfully stood off the police and then got an injunction. And this may become important as a lesson for what to do if the new city manager, Matt Huffaker, moves on the homeless, as he has threatened to do at the end of the summer. And you have the January 2nd update in the park, chatting with Raymond, rifling through the dumpster wreckage. Another interview with Cast Iron Cooper, who you've heard a bit of today, and Tough Talking Tony from their still standing camp. Grapevine Greg visits San Lorenzo from the County Armory camp, and Greg is now living in the Benchlands 2 years later and still reporting from there. Clatching at the Comrade Cafe with Donnie and others, cooking chow in the rain, and then back to the Monday standoff. That is, say, the standoff on January 28th, 2020, a full hour of community members holding police at bay on the sidewalk and demanding answers but getting none. And finally, an interview with Denise Elric of the Harm Reduction Coalition and Sarah Ringler. More than a mouthful, but you might find it interesting and enjoyable. If you don't, do something that makes more sense in 2022. Maybe go down to the Benchlands and make some contacts with folks, or go down to Pacific Avenue in Soquel and join us to do some tabling to encourage people to get together to demand some real and create some real positive policies regarding unhoused folks, instead of the nonsense that's coming out of the city council and the city manager's office. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. If you have anything to report, please do call in 831-423-4833.